If you're a guest visiting with us, thank you for coming. We love that you're here and appreciate you joining us as we kind of rebuild and restart again. It really has been an exciting adventure. And today, things are going to be different. You know, the world, as the world has changed, all of us have changed, things are different for us as a church community. And one of the things we're going to do is making some adjustments as we go along, too. Some fun things that will be happening to the way that we do church together. A lot of, we just finished a series called Reimagining Church and thinking about how we can do church differently. And there's something we're going to start doing differently next week. And I'm going to introduce that idea to you today and how it will change the way we do things. But as a pastor, so I want to tell you, like, from my pastoral perspective, something that I've been dealing with during COVID. So one of the things I've been dealing with, and I found difficult to do, and maybe you can relate to me, is I feel like there is a big challenge in just simply getting people's attention. Now, if you think about it, the communication has gone digital. It's been challenging to preach to a camera and not even know if anyone's listening. And so I've been enjoying, you know, this trusty XD Sony cam has been my faithful parishioner for the past 18 months, and so I'm so thankful. Thank you for joining me, Mr. Sony. He's great. But so he's always there, always with me through the thick and the thin of COVID. But trying to get people's attention is actually something not that churches try to do, but really this people play millions and millions of dollars to get people's attention. So I did a little research, and I thought maybe I'm not the only one, into how many messages we actually receive on a day-to-day basis. So what I found was, I want you to take a guess. How many messages, whether it's advertising or otherwise, do you think the average American sees every day? So just think, just off the top of head, just like take a guess. Okay. All right, so just on a daily basis, the average American will see 4,000 to 10,000 messages, many of them being online. They're subliminal, even just every little sign, logo, 4,000 to 10,000. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was astounded. I mean, it seems a little high, but these are the folks that are looking at it. That doesn't include the 100 text messages that you might send or receive on a daily basis. Now, that's just the average. In addition to that, the average American, the average person, will watch 4 to 5 hours of television every single day. So you put that all together, mix it all up into the mishmash of what people are listening to, and you have yourself quite a potent concoction of communication that makes it very difficult for anyone, even the advertisers among themselves, trying to convey a message to people. Now, embedded in all of these messages that we see on a day-to-day basis, there are these narratives and stories that are being written. And they are trying to influence us, to help us think and act in certain ways. And what happens is, over time, we conform to the pattern of those messages that are either subliminally or explicitly being said to us. There's a reason why advertisers pay millions of dollars every year in order to do advertise. You know why? Because it works. If you repeat something enough and you frame it in such a way, you get enough touches, people will start to think differently. And this is the society in which we live in, and it's the challenge that I've faced myself, where many pastors I know feel like they just want to throw up their hands and give up because, you know, we have maybe 30 minutes to communicate something from God's word. Here we have the most powerful, the most brilliant message that has ever been preached to mankind, the gospel of the kingdom as Jesus saw it. And yet, with a click of a mouse or of a button or on your phone, even in this very room, you can be tuned out instantaneously. And so it is into this cultural reality that we start our new series today, which I'm actually really excited about. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, this is a church he loved deeply, he said this, and it is more relevant, just as relevant as it was then, a couple thousand years ago when he wrote it. And he said this in chapter 12. He said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so what we want to do is look at the stories that the world offers, but look at what Jesus offers, which is an antidote to the stories and the messages that we receive. And the antidote are the God stories, which have been told throughout the ages, and the God stories that are still being written today. And so today, we're going to start a new sermon series. We're calling it God Stories. And in it, we want to explore the stories that God is writing in our community, and the stories that have been written that really shape our minds and help conform the patterns of our mind so that we can align with what God's doing. Because the majority of the messages, my friends, that you'll see that are purposely trying to get you to do one thing or another are not necessarily the story that God's wanting to write. We're in competition with people who want to write your story for you. And so we can make a choice whether we allow those messages to shape the way that we live, or that we allow the message, the story that God wants to write in our lives, to be the one we pay attention to. And so that's where we start today, our three-week journey. It's a mini-series, and as we start a new pattern in our church's life. So let me say a prayer, and we're going to look at Psalm 18 together as we explore and begin this sermon series. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time back. I am just so full of joy, God. I am so grateful that we can worship in your presence. Thank you for the worship this morning. Thank you for the worship team and the whole band. Thank you for the AV team and the logistics team and the kids' min team and everyone else, hospitality and all the work that has gone into just making this short time available to us. So we pray that in this space, we would be attentive and not distracted to whatever it is you want to say in this short time, that we would be sensitive to your voice and live out the story that you want to write for the rest of our lives and even just today. So that's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so if you're familiar with the scriptures, you've read through the Bible, you might see that one of the dominating or probably the most dominating genre in the Bible is narrative. In fact, 42% of the Bible is a narrative in some one way or another. You can't go very far without finding a story. And what was one of Jesus' favorite ways to teach? Is he liked to tell stories. He liked to tell parables about a farmer or about a seed or about a businessman that would illustrate these larger kingdom principles that he wanted to communicate. So understanding the importance of story is actually a vital and central part of our spiritual lives, our spiritual formation. And the stories that we pay attention to will shape the narratives that dominate our thinking and thus determine really the way that we live our lives. So the story is essential to how we live according to what God wants us to. And this is the way that God's people really all throughout history have conveyed the message of God, of the kingdom of God, is by telling one another stories and passing them down. So like I mentioned, today we're going to be in Psalm 18. There are some Bibles. I found it sometimes helpful to have it all in front of me in one piece. If you want, there's Bibles at the white tables if you'd like to grab one. If you brought a Bible, that's great too. I'm going to be posting them on here. But we're going to be in Psalm 18 and looking at different selections. It's a big psalm, so we can't really get through the whole thing. But we'll look at little pieces that show us how the elements of the story unfold even within this psalm. Now, the Psalms are simply the prayer book of the Bible. They were the Hebrew Bible, the prayer book of the Hebrew Bible that God's people used to help them pray and to help them worship in particular. Not only did people use that in the Old Testament, but Jesus himself and his disciples used it as well. And this is one of the greatest books I've been using. I had a little bit of a resurgence in my enjoyment of the book of Psalms as I've been praying through it the past several months. So I'd encourage you, and this has been a book that has helped me all throughout my life, to give words to my prayer and help remind me of the story of God and how that connects with my story. So it's written, the Psalm 18 is written by King David, or the shepherd coming from the outback or from nowhere into kinghood. And he's writing this on the journey in between. When he was attacked, if you're familiar with the story, he was attacked And his life was being threatened by a guy named Saul, who was the king at the time. And he writes this in desperation as he escapes from certain what seemed to be certain death. Okay, so that's where it starts. So let's look at verse 1. Now, what I want to do is because I think it's important, one of the joys of actually being together in person again, and not just looking at each other on a camera, is that we get to do this corporately. We get to pray. So what I'd want us to do is to recite out loud, if you feel comfortable, okay? Let's read this together like worship, like Ben and Jess were leading us in out loud worship, but let's read it together out loud, okay? So we're going to read this story to one another, and I think there's power in that. And not only is it a joy to do that together as a community, that's one of the fun things we get to do now that we're together more regularly, but it's also a good way to remind ourselves of how we can pray on our own. So if you need help praying or you get stuck praying, easiest thing you can do, open the Psalms, read it out loud. You're good to go. Guess what? God counts that as 100% great prayer. All right? So you're good to go. All right, so ready? Let's read together. Just follow my pace. I'll try to read slowly and methodically. Follow my. If you get off pace, I'm not. No one's going to get mad at you. We're still learning how to do this together. But let's take a look at verse 1 and 2. Okay, together now, let's read. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Wow. Actually, that was very powerful for me. Having us all say that together, I was actually a lot more, I'm kind of tearing up a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Anyway, so one of the things we want to remember as we go through this this passage is that the way the stories of God were told were not originally mostly in written form. Almost 100% of communication was oral. And so stories would be passed down from generation to generation. And the reason why stories were so important is because they're easy to remember. It's much easier if I told you a story or made a set of bullet. I listed a few bullet points. It's much easier to. You probably will remember the story more than you will the points that I made. So, for example, one of the things I like to do is after I share a sermon, I'll ask my wife or one of my kids. It's like, hey, what do you remember from the sermon? And they're like, you know, I remember you were talking about squirrels eating a pumpkin. Or, you know, I remember you tripped over yourself and you told, like, that. Those are the things that people remember, or the stories, you know, meanwhile, I pour my heart out trying to craft this message that would be helpful for people. But the stories of God are important, they're vital. And so this is not something that is just relevant today, but certainly is central to what the ancient Jewish person would understand in the way that they live their life. So David, the interesting thing here is that David's words, these words that you see, aren't just ideas that he made up. In fact, as you look at each of them, each of these key words and phrases and ideas, what David is doing is echoing the stories that have been told and passed down orally from generation to generation. So let me give you a few examples. So when God revealed himself to Abram in Genesis 15, he revealed himself as his shield. Okay, and then that story got passed on and on through the generations. When Hannah cried out, she used this weird imagery, it sounds kind of strange, of being a horn. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. The horn of my salvation, you can see that toward the end of the... But basically that means my strength. It's an image that's used in the Old Testament and often in the oral tradition to mean your strength. Moses used this same kind of language of being a deliverance and salvation when they crossed the Red Sea and he worshiped with Miriam. And so David himself is not just making this up off the top of his head. He's relying on the tradition and the stories that have been told to him over the course of many years. And so this one verse here can unpack a multitude of stories in and of themselves that we could spend hours and hours going through. But the point being, if David himself, who crafted many of the stories and lived out these incredible heroic stories in the Bible, needs to borrow from his ancestors and from the forefathers and what the heroes of faith had done before, we too are invited into understanding, listening to those stories in order to build faith in our lives and helping us invite God into those stories. And what happens is that when we remember the stories of the past, of what God's done in the past, it helps remind us that we need to invite God into our story in the present. And the problem is when we face difficulties or challenges, whether it's COVID or a problem with your family or a health, something you're dealing with your health right now, we often forget to invite God into the story. We often forget what God's done in our own lives, and we often forget that God wants to participate in. And by telling those stories, we remind ourselves. And one of the things I love about the way the scriptures lay out the stories is that we can be honest about our pain and the suffering in our lives. And David does that here. He poetically describes his pain in verses 4 and 5. And I want to, let's read this together. But this time when you read it, and this is really a great practice for prayer, and I'll invite you to do something that might be difficult, so you choose your own adventure here. But think of an instance in your life recently that might have been difficult for you. Maybe something challenging or painful, some kind of suffering, whatever it might be. Might be, you know, just as simple as being stuck at the red light or making a wrong turn. But if you want to go serious, you can go deep as you want. But as you read this psalm, say it as a prayer and put yourself in David's perspective. Okay, so let's do that. Let's do that together as we read in verse 4. Let's go to the next slide there. Okay, reading together, verse 4. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. Now, David most likely is not speaking literally, but figuratively in the sense of how he was distraught emotionally and spiritually. And I don't know about you, but some of those feelings, like even for me this past month, I felt that kind of winding on the inside, the twisting, the time when your stomach is just in a knot. You feel sick to your stomach, or you're just so anxious. And David just does such a beautiful job of describing this. And one of the beauties of this passage is that we need to remember God wants us to pour out our complaints to him. There is an invitation in Scripture to complain to God. Remember, that's a key part of understanding your relationship with God. God wants you to complain, but not to other people, to him. Get your complaints out to God. Tell him how you're feeling and be honest. I've started this, unfortunately, I'm afraid to admit this a little bit, but I've started cursing to God a little bit when I've been so distraught. I try not to do that out loud, and I think I've done an okay job, but if I can get those feelings out to God, I don't think he gets upset at that. I think he invites and wants us to express our pain and difficulties to him. David doesn't focus on the problem, though. He doesn't just stay there, okay? So we're not meant to just stay there. He does make a turn. So in verse 6, this is where the turn is. So let's read this together, verse 6. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. So God heard David when he cried out. And this is the turning point in the psalm where things begin to change for David. In his distress, he cries out to God. And listen, if you want, here's one of the key takeaways for today, is one of them, but if you want God to be part of your story, you have to invite him to be part of your story. So often we get so focused on the issue at hand that we try to handle it ourselves. And there's an invitation here to all of us to invite God and make our story a God story. Because God is a gentleman in the sense he won't force ourselves upon us. And if you don't want God to be part of your story, he'll let you. But he desperately wants to be there. He desperately wants you to know, each of us to know, and reminded that he's here to listen to us, and he will hear our cry. And when God shows up, it really changes everything. And the rest of the psalm, we won't have time to go through it. I'm going to finish at the end. But it tells the story of what happened to him. It's very poetic. So a lot of it is abstract. Some of the ideas of thunder and lightning and the power of God's presence and hailstones and darkness and light breaking through. So it's a vivid picture, and I encourage you to read it this week as an example of what a story in one of the Psalms. And Psalms is really not a story kind of literature, but even in the Psalms there are many, many stories that David tells as part of his worship and remembering. So with that said, I want to share with you one of my God stories this week. Okay, I'm going to make it brief, but I want to share, and I've been hinting a little bit about something that has happened. So leading up to today, this transition, not only is there's the whole backstory that we're all familiar with, what's been happening in our culture today, but the past month, and particularly the past 2 or 3 weeks previous to this one, our family seemed to get inundated with an extraordinary amount of, just to put it lightly, frustrating circumstances, and sometimes very painful circumstances. And it seemed to involve our children, not only us. So we were trying to work through some relational conflicts ourselves, but the kids seemed to be at every turn experienced some kind of difficulty. Now, two of them got pretty sick for a couple weeks. And then that followed with two of them getting bloodied up on the pavement. And it was just seemed to be like back to back. Every week someone was dealing with something. Not only that, but at school there were these fights breaking out. Our children, one of the kids, just their heart was broken by a betrayal. I mean, it seemed like these kind of events kept happening for some reason. There was a lot of sadness. And we felt like there was just a sense of desperation in our house. I won't have to get into the details because I don't think they're that important and want to protect the kids. But it got to be so bad at one point that Jess and I, we went down into the basement and we held hands and we did what David said here. We cried out to God. Now, we've often prayed together, but it's not the kind of prayer, if I'm being honest, where we're like on our knees and on our face and crying out to God. It was that kind of visceral kind of praying. And maybe you've been in that place before. I mean, there's prayer walking that we like to do, but this is pretty desperate. And interestingly enough, after we did that, we took a walk, and this was this Monday morning. And we actually sent out an email to some friends who we know who regularly pray for us, who intercede for our family, because being pastoral family, spiritual attacks and weird stuff is not out of the ordinary, especially during times of transition. Let me tell you that. But we were walking in Bridgeport Park, and we were praying. We were interceding for our children. We were praying, crying out to God about specific circumstances. And we turned the corner, and if you remember Monday, we looked out into the sky, and in the moment, I'm talking down to the millisecond, we turned the corner, and as we were speaking out the words, there was like this brilliant rainbow that was in the sky at that very moment. Now, if you know our story, if you're part of our church, you probably understand on a deeper level the significance that a rainbow has in the relationship with Jess and I. If you don't know us and don't know our story, let me just say this, and I'd love to share you that other story, the backstories that led up to that, because I love telling those God stories. I won't get into all that right now because I want to get back to worship soon. But in that moment, God reminded us that His promises that He had for our marriage and our relationship, which God spoke powerfully through the rainbow throughout many years, the last 20 years of our relationship, that those same promises applied to our children as well. And it was in that moment I knew, I had this sense of conviction that the Lord had heard, at least I knew God had heard what we had been praying in that moment. And that was a really faith building. But then at the same time, things with our children started to change. There was shifting, there was healing, there was restoration and a sense of God at work that we could see what God was doing in the work of our children. And I would say as a parent, and maybe you parents out there can relate to me, but I found that like there's one thing to learning to live a life of faith for yourself and like your own future, but that it's a whole new level. It's like a whole new thing to try to trust God for someone else's life that you love and you care for just as much. And this has been part of our journey as parents, especially as they grow and get bigger and the problems get bigger and compound, is learning how to trust God on behalf of our children. And I mean, the same thing applies, of course, to our church as well. But you might be able to relate. But we invite, but this thing that David's doing here, in my distress, I called the Lord, is the key. If we want to see God as part of our story, we need to invite him. And he does. He hears our prayers and he answers us. And he wants each of us to know. You know, when David experienced after Saul, what he experienced, and he tells his story. And there's lots of versions. I mean, the stories of David are all throughout the Bible. You can read 1 and 2 Samuel. I mean, continues in the lives of other kings as well. But there's one response that David had that was very consistent. And we can read together. Let's look at it. And let's read the response that David has in verses 46 to 49. Let's turn there. Okay, let's read together. This is what David says. Verse 46. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. We'll read one more verse, but I love that. I've heard it said, you know, God was the original avenger. Right? So they took the idea from Psalm 18, I think, here. All right, so next verse. Okay, together now, verse 49. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. See, the stories that David tells himself and to those listening give him reason to praise God. Ben, I think, had mentioned it in worship this morning, is that all things lead, all that we do lead to worship. And the stories that we tell lead to worship. In fact, kind of the main idea for this series and what we're doing now is that God's stories are, in fact, our inspiration for worship. We worship because God is writing the story of our life. God's stories are our inspiration for worship. That's how we get to know God. That's how we get to experience him. Not only the stories that we read about in the past and that we read out loud to one another, but the stories that God is writing in one another's lives and that he's writing within our community. These are the inspiration for our worship and why we worship God, because we are invited into this great story, the story of the good news of the kingdom of God. And that is the invitation for us today. You know, and ultimately, David, as if you look from a theological perspective, is a type of Jesus. He's a foreshadowing of who Jesus is. And this very story here, this pattern of mankind bound in sin, coiled in the grave, were set free because of Jesus. His life and his death and resurrection from the grave freed mankind from slavery to sin and offered the forgiveness of sin so that we could now live with God as part of our story. This is the good news of the gospel that we see reflected in David's life in this very psalm, and it's the very story that's repeated again and again and again throughout history for every person who would submit to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you come? Would you be part of my story? Would you rewrite the history of my life? By making it possible through your death and resurrection, by the shedding of your blood and the forgiveness of the sins, that starts this incredible story that we can have. Jesus made possible that our story can become part of God's story because of what he did. And that gospel of the kingdom continues and continues on today. And so we tell our God stories to one another as an act of worship. Now this story, I want to share with you some a little piece from English literature. I wasn't an English major, but I can appreciate you literature types out there because of the insight that it has to author. I don't know if you've heard, I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine earlier about this, but I don't know if you've heard of a man named Joseph Campbell, but he wrote back in the 1940s, I believe it was in 1949, he published a work called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And in this work, okay, so he talks about something called the hero's journey. And there is, basically, he looked at all of, like, as many myths, thousands of myths throughout the history of humanity, and noticed that there was a pattern in all of these myths. And he summarizes, you can see it here in more detail, and my goal isn't to go into full detail about the hero's journey, but I want to read this. You can see it there. You can read it. But the hero ventures forth from a world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder, Fabulous forces are there encountered, and a decisive victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure with the power to bestow boons on his fellow man. Now, does that sound familiar? That is the story that makes great stories in the media and in any movie or any television show, and it's ultimately what a reflection of what story? God's story, the story of Jesus. So even embedded within all the messages, we talk about how we're bombarded by all these messages and themes, the best stories that we could ever imagine or that are ever that the best, most creative people can come with, all come from this one story, and this is the story of Jesus. Every great story ultimately gives honor to God and to Jesus because of the story that he wrote. You can't get a better story than this. In fact, this is the pattern not only that the stories of the ancient pasts have told in their myths and mythologies, but this is the truth of the, not only the reality of Jesus, but every story that is reflected for those who follow him. We all have this similar, this path, and we're invited to follow Jesus in his heroism in pursuing what God has for our lives. And so we tell one another these stories as an act of worship, and as we do, they inspire worship in our lives. See, the God stories in our lives inspire worship. And it's as we listen to these stories that the way David put it, the torrents of destruction, which are these messages that want to tear us down and fold us into a life of self-centeredness, will fade away and we'll be caught up in this wonderful story that God has for us. In fact, they have a central role. Now, I want to extend an invitation, okay? So I want to extend an invitation for you to email us over the next couple of weeks, actually over the next course of our church, because we're making a shift. Now, here's the shift as I finish up. So God's stories, the idea is that God's stories have played a central part in the worship of God's people throughout the ages. And one of the things that we're going to be doing regularly in our church is we're going to be inviting up you. Maybe you've been here only two times, or you've been here coming here as a member for the last 7 years, whatever it's been. I want to invite you, in order to help us as a community to worship together, to come and share your God stories, to share what God's doing in your life or in the life of someone you know, in order to help inspire worship in our community. So actually starting next week, what we're going to do is as part of the worship service, and we're working out some of the details of how that looks probably in the opening set, and we want children to listen to these stories as well. We're going to share stories of what God's doing in our lives. Some churches may have called this testimony time or whatever, but we're calling it God's stories. And if you have a story you feel like you'd like to share, even if it's a little one, it could be a very little thing, could be big or little or medium or anywhere in between, could you please email us at godstories@conchalkandvineyard.com and share with us what God's doing in your life. And we'll help you craft that story and be able to present it to our church community. In other words, we want to hear what God's doing in your life so that we can worship together. It builds faith in our community and is going to inspire worship. This is going to be, I'm excited about having this as a key aspect of our worship together, because throughout these years, those stories are being shared, but they're being shared in small groups or friendships or small talk. But what we want to do is make those stories available for our entire community, because I believe that we will ultimately worship even more as we hear together. So I'm really excited about that. So please start thinking. But over the next couple weeks, we're going to give you time to start thinking about that. What I'd like you to do is think about this. Consider these questions about your God story based on what we learned in Psalm 18. Okay, so here's a couple questions to consider. The pattern that David went through when he told his story. So one question is, so what's some trouble that you were in or a struggle that you've had, or a difficulty that you were facing that caused you to call out to God? Okay, that's the first. So think of a story that was so desperate or difficult, challenge, that caused you to call out to God. That's the first question. And then the second question, it's kind of a two-part, is then, well, how did God respond? What did you learn about God through that experience? And consider that pattern of the, you can just look it up, the hero's journey, to help you shape a way to be able to communicate that with other people. So that's the invitation. I'm going to stop there, but that's the invitation. I want you to think about the story that God is writing in your life. And then two, but the second part is, how can you share that story? How can we share those stories together in order to inspire worship and faith in one another? Okay, so what I want to do, I want to give you a time. What we'd like to do, and now that we have this space, this quiet space and time where there's no lawnmowers or dogs running across the yard or whatever it might be, we can actually be a little bit more quiet and have a little bit more time. Because this is one of the things we value, is creating space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, right? Wherever you are in your story, you know what? God wants to intersect and be part of that. So let's do this. We're going to give that Holy Spirit room. We're just going to take a couple minutes. I'm even going to sit down myself and listen. We're going to give you like 2 minutes. And during this opportunity, what I encourage you to do is ask God to bring to mind maybe a story that's maybe not going so well. And ask him how we'd want to be part of that story. And then perhaps, maybe for the first time, you might say, God, I want you to be part of my story. Let's pray, and then I'm going to take a couple minutes to rest quietly, and then we'll worship a little bit more. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for your precious presence here with us today, right now. And I pray in this quiet space and time that probably so few of us have on a weekly basis, that you would enter our story in a new way. So release revelation now in Jesus' name. Would you come? Thank you, Lord, for the gift it is to be invited into the life you offer. And for the first time today, you might say, God, I want you to be part of my story. You say, Jesus, thank you for giving your life away, for your death, and the forgiveness of sins that you offer. I welcome you into my life and ask that you would be the author. You would be the author of the rest of my life. And the rest of us, whether it's for the first time or 101st time, we pray help us to remember that you are and desire to be part of every part of our lives and every part of our story this week. Help us worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.